गुंज बिहारी। जयो गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। जयो गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी। जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी। जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी। जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। जयो गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी। यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरावनचारी। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जयो राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे। जयो राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी। जयो गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन गिरी गोवर्धन जय गिरी गोवर्धन। जय हो गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय। जय ओ प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सतसे श्रीमद् इज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सतसे श्रीमद् इज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वी लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर टुडे मॉर्निंग। Today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are continuing our discussion of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 17, entitled The Descent of River Ganges. And we have text 15 and 16. We will recite text 15, which is on the board. It's a prose. So I will just read it, then later we can read word to word. Ilavrate tu Bhagavan Bhava एक एव पुमान न ही अन्यस तत्र अपरो निर्वेशति भव अन्यः शाप निमितन्यो। यत् प्रवेक्षातः स्त्री भावस तत् पश्चात् वक्ष्यामि। इलाव्रते इन द ट्रैक्ट ऑफ लैंड नोन एज इलाव्रत वर्ष टू बट भगवान द मोस्ट पावरफुल भवः लॉर्ड शिवा एकः ओनली एव सर्टनली पुमान मेल पर्सन न नॉट ही सर्टनली अन्यः एनी अदर तत्र देर अपरः बिसाइड्स निर्विशति enters bhavanyah shapa nimittajna, who knows the cause of the curse by bhavani the wife of lord shiva. yat pravekshatah of one who forcibly enters that tract of land, stri bhavah, transformation into a female, that paschat, later, vakshami, I shall explain. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ilavrata Varsha, the only male person, Eka Eva Puman, is Lord Shiva, Bhagavan Bhava, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. Stri Bhava. I shall explain this later in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 16. Bhavani Natehe Shri Ganarbudaha Sahasrahe Avarudyamano Bhagavatas Chaturmurtihi Mahapurushasya Turiyam Tamasim Murtim Prakritim Atmanaha Shankarshana Samgyam Atma Samadhi Rupena Sannidhapi Aitat Abhigranan Bhava Upadhavati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation of the 16th verse. In Ilavrata Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Shankarshana. Shankarshana, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Shankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Purport. Sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. Srila Prabhupada says, this verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Shankarshan in trance. Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world. Lord Vishnu maintains it. And Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity Shankarshana are technically called Tamasi. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamaguna. Since both Lord Shiva and Shankarshana are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature. Goodness, passion or ignorance. But because their activities involve them with the modes of ignorance, they are sometimes called as Tamasi. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshattarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Krishna. So just to give some background of these verses, what we are studying in this 17th chapter. So in the 16th chapter, we saw the geography of this world and we saw how Ganga is flowing and comes across different tracts of land. So in that, they are going to now explain after Meru Mandal, we saw Brahmapuri, Yamapuri and all. After Meru Mountain, we are going to see the Varshas. So there are 9 Varshas mainly And the first Varsha is being described now, Ilavrata Varsha. So basically, we are tracking Ganga's flow. So Ganga will flow through all the Varshas and she's known by different names. So the first Varsha is being mentioned, Ilavrata, the tract of land. Now in every Varsha, when they explain, they're going to explain who the main worshipper is in that tract of land and the main worshipable god. So if they talk about Bharata Varsha, they're going to speak about Narada Muni and Narayana Rishi. If they're speaking about Ilavrata Varsha, the main god is Lord Shiva and his main worshipable deity is Sankarsana. So each 9 tract of land, they're going to follow this flow. The main person of the tract of land and his worshipable deity. And in the next verse, which is not covered today, is the mantra. So each Varsha will have like that. Usually around 3 verses each Varsha. Who's the main adhikari of that Varsha? Their worshipable deity and the mantra. So we are not covering here. The mantra is basically a very devotional mantra. So these 2 verses basically talk about the situation in Ilavrata Varsha. Lord Shiva is there. There are 10 billion maid servants. Only he and Durga and all female associates. No men enters. The first verse mentions that, you know, if anyone enters Bhavani, she has made a curse. Because she doesn't like any other men entering. So whoever male that enters Ilavrata Varsha, they immediately become a female. This story is there in 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when I was reading this, I thought, you know, I can talk about 2 different topics today, I was thinking. That either I speak about story of Sudumna. Sudumna is the guy who, you know, who became Ila. He got cursed. He went into Ilavrata Varsha and he became a woman. So every 15 days he would change his gender. And he got children also after that. The whole moon dynasty comes, a very confusing chapter in 9th canto. So I was thinking, should I talk about Sudumna? I was thinking, and maybe in that connection, talking about today, I thought probably we'll discuss, you know, something nowadays people talk about cisgender and transgender, something like that. People use this as a proof in Shastras. Sometimes they misquote Kim Purusha, they misquote Kinnara. Sometimes they speak about Tritriya Prakriti definition. So I was thinking, should I speak about that? Or I have another option. We could speak about the position of Lord Shiva and how he is worshipping Sankarsana, Vishnu. And in that connection with today's context, how, you know, ISKCON has been accused recently of Harihar Bed. Many places it comes up. How ISKCON is, you know, making differentiation between Hari and Hara. Between Vishnu and Shiva. It's a big thing going on. So I chose the second topic, not wanting to talk about the first topic. So we'll talk about position of Lord Shiva and especially we'll talk about Harihar Bhed. So before we enter into that, it's very interesting how here it's mentioned that Shiva is the only male surrounded by billions of maid servants. You know, it's kind of like reminds us of how Krishna is surrounded by so many gopis. So Shiva is a very special expansion of Lord Krishna. We see that when Lord Krishna's pleasure potency expands, that comes as Radharani. She has millions of assistants also. When Lord Shiva's servitude expands, that comes as Balaram. He also has millions of associates, expansions. So when Lord Shiva's potency in the material world expands, that comes like Lord Shiva. And he also has millions of assistants and maidservants. Very much similar. But the difference is shown in this verse that, you know, he is worshipping Lord Sankarsan. So mainly today when we discuss about Harihar Bhed, that's the topic of the class in case Sri Keshanabhu wants. Harihar Bhed. Okay. So when we talk about Harihar Bhed, I'm going to discuss mainly on my points from Jiva Goswami's Vaishnava Toshini, which is his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, this section of the 89th chapter. Of Srimad, 10th canto, 89th chapter. So this is also a very interesting chapter. Why Jiva Goswami dedicates one whole purport discussing about Harihar Bhed. Okay, the difference between Hari and Hara. So in the, as you know, 10th canto has 90 chapters. 90 chapters. And we are discussing from the 89th chapter. So what happens before and after that? The 87th chapter talks about the prayers of the Vedas personified. Where Krishna's position as the goal of the Vedas is established. The 88th chapter, the next chapter, talks about Vrikasur pastime, where Krishna being superior to Shiva is established. And the 89th chapter talks about the pastime of Mahavishnu stealing the Brahmana's children. In that chapter, Krishna's position as even greater to Mahavishnu is established. So subsequently, in all the chapters, very nicely, Krishna's position as supreme is established. Krishna is the supreme Veda, Narayana Paraveda. Krishna is the supreme even to Shiva, and Krishna is supreme even to Mahavishnu himself. That is established. So for devotees, generally, we have no issue. We understand that Shiva is as good as Krishna, but at the same time, different from Krishna. We have no wrong in understanding, especially most famous is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, where he writes the qualities. Jiva Tattva has 50 qualities, Shiva Tattva has 55 qualities, Narayan or Vishnu has 60 qualities, but Krishna has 64 qualities. So we are quite clear, but still today, in today's age, many times we are confronted with other people who are non-devotees. They quote various shastras saying that one should not do Harihar Bed like you ISKCON people are doing. Okay? Both are equal, both are same. So we have to understand that shastras have both kinds of vakyas. Bheda vakyas, which show the distinction, and abheda vakyas also. Why? Because it's contextual. Depends on the qualification of the recipient. So we'll see many abheda vakyas showing that Vishnu and Shiva are non-different. This comes in Bhagavatam also, but we'll see many Puranas. Even they may be Sattvika Puranas. Sometimes devotees argue, no, that is all Tamasic Puranas. No, there are many Sattvic Puranas which mention this. Like for example, Vishnu Purana says, okay, Krishna is speaking to Shiva, or Vishnu is speaking to Shiva. He's saying, that which I am, that people should meditate because that is you are. He says it like that. Okay, then he says that one should look upon Narayan and Shiva equally without any discrimination. Agni Puran says there is no difference between us, Shiva and Vishnu. Skanda Puran says, as is Shiva, so is Vishnu. As is Vishnu, so is Shiva. There is not a slight difference between them. So from this, we see so many Puranas. Now Varaha Purana mentions, those who consider Shiva as different from Vishnu, they are sinful and will reach hell. So such heavy descriptions where many people, they say that what ISKCON is doing, how can you show Harihar Ved saying that Vishnu is the only Devata, Parama Devata, whereas Shiva is expansion of Vishnu. So let's see what Jiva Goswami has to say. So Jiva Goswami begins his purport in this 89th chapter. He says that Bhagavadam clearly shows that Vishnu is supreme. And all other faults proclaimed by other scriptures to see the difference between Vishnu and Shiva's, all other faults, they say that, if you see the difference, you go to hell. He says, these are opinions of non-Vaishnavas. These are opinions of non-devotees. Because those scriptures are not for Vaishnavas. Jiva Goswami, right? Katranaga. Okay? Because in the Vaishnava Tantra, in the Vaishnava Shastra, it is clearly mentioned, and this is a famous verse that he quotes, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivataihi Samatvena Viksheta Sa Pashandiba Vedruvam. One who sees Narayan on the level of Brahma or Shiva, they are immediately called as a Pashandi. So he says, look, Vaishnava Shastras are saying that you should not equate. You should not equate. Right? So he gives an example, he gives a very heavy example of a story, Jiva Goswami. He says a story. This story is mentioned in Vishnu Dharotara of Padma Puran. So once there was a Brahmana named Vishwaksena. And this Vishwaksena was wandering around, Brahmana devotee, Vaishnava, was wandering around, and one day he came upon a village. And in this village, they wanted to do puja. This village was a Shaivite village. They wanted to do puja. They saw they needed a Brahmin. So they called this Vishwaksena. He said, come, do puja of our Shivalinga. Vishwaksena said, no. How can I worship Shiva? I'm a Vaishnava. I will not worship him. The villagers became very angry. They said, what is he doing Harihar Ved? they became angry, very angry at Vishwaksena. So the village head, probably the upasarpanch or sarpanch, I don't know, right? His son got so angry, he said, if you do not worship the Shiva, I will cut your head. So now devotees in Dharma Sankat, should we maintain our life? Should we maintain our dharma? What should we do? He thought that life is more important because life is meant for seva. So he thought, okay, no problem. I'm Brahmana. I can worship anyone, isn't it? Any mantra, whatever, no problem. Yeah. One time, there was this, you know, some guest that come to our Yamuna. And His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj was there. His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was there. And our Shivanand Sham Prabhu was also standing there. So many guests were there. And then they said they were doing Ganga Yamuna Arati. And after the Yamuna Arati, they were not devotees' guests. Gaurang Prabhu said, offer tarpan. Tarpanam. So then he called Shivanand Sham Prabhu, come, recite mantras. Shivanand Prabhu said, I am Brahmachari, recite what tarpana mantras? You know, just because you're the head pujari doesn't mean you know everything, isn't it? So I was thinking, I was standing behind, I was thinking, what he's going to do now? You know? Because there's a way in do tarpana. You offer to higher devatas, then when you offer to pitrus, you leave at the side. You offer. So those who don't know, they keep doing like this only. So Shivanand Sham Prabhu knows technically, but what mantras? So then he did something and I forgot who was the guest. Anyone remember? Some guest anyway. I was just focused on the incident. I was saying, kya karne wale abhi? So some mantra he told, something he told, and he did something, some tarpanam, in Yamuna. And then came back. And then I caught his hand. I said, what mantras you told? Don't ask. He said, something I just told. Because, so here Vishwaksena, this Brahmana, he thought that no problem, I'm Brahmana. I can do Shiva Puja also. So he did not want to die. He started doing. And first thing he offered is the flower. He started offer to Narayanam. He started Narasimha. Idam Narasimha Samarpayami. He offered to Narasimha. Hearing this, that the people were standing behind with Talwar, they got angry. You're doing Vishnu Puja, chanting the name of Narasimha? What are you doing? Nonsense. They wanted to cut his head. As they were about to cut his head, that Shivalinga burst open. Narasimha Dev came out and killed the villagers. So similar story we hear in Bhagavatam also about the dacoits who tried to kill Jadabharat. So here, Jiva Goswami is, by quoting this Padma Puran story, showing that how the Vaishnavas, they don't, you know, move a flinch or budge an inch from the lotus feet of Vishnu. Now, anyone who's a non-devotee, they're hearing this, they'll say, you guys are fanatics, you know. But why he quotes Skanda Puran now? Skanda Puran is a Shiva Purana. It's a Tamasi Purana. Now he quotes Skanda Puran where Lord Shiva speaks. Skanda Puran is a conversation between Lord Shiva and his son, Kartikeya, who is known as Skanda. That's why it's called Skanda Puran. So here Lord Shiva himself says, a very important line. He says, Shiva Shastresu, that means Shiva Shastras, the Shaiva Agamas. Shiva Shastresu tat grahyam. You should accept only that Shiva Shastras, Bhagavat Shastra Yogiyat. You should only accept the conclusion of the Shiva Shastras which are in line with the Vaishnava Tantras. This Lord Shiva himself is saying. That means all the things about me, Shiva is saying, don't accept. Only accept tat grahyam Bhagavat Shastra Yogiyat. If it's accepted by the Vishnu Shastras, then the sections of my Shastras, that you accept. Like this he's saying. So Jiva Goswami quotes this. Okay. So it is because that devotees, they only worship the Lord. So many other Shastras, they give injunction that Vishnu is the only one to be worshipped. For example, one Shastra say, Hari Eka Sada Dheyo Bhavadbir Sattva Samshrayah Vishnu Mantram Sada Vipra Patthadvam Dhyata Keshavam. One who is predominantly in sattva, naturally they'll worship by Vishnu mantras. They should not do anything else. Oh, this is what Shastra is saying. But in Bhagavadam itself, some Abheda Shastras are there in the Daksha section. Trayanameka Bhava Nam Noya Pashyanti Vaibhidam Sarvabhutatma Nam Brahman Sa Shanti Madigachati. O Daksha! He's Shiva himself speaking. Those person who does not see difference between the three of us, that means Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, the soul of all beings, they attain peace. So Shiva is saying, don't see difference between Brahma, Vishnu and me. But Jiva Goswami says, you cannot compare them because Brahma and Vishnu are dependent. Sorry, Brahma and Shiva are dependent. Vishnu is always independent. So how can three of them be the same? So Jiva Goswami is not accepting this version. He's saying Brahma himself has said that he is dependent. Okay, this is second canto. Brahma says, I create under the order of the Lord and Shiva destroys under the order of the Lord. Holding these three energies, he protects the universe as Paramatma. So here Brahma himself is saying that I am dependent on Vishnu. Shiva is also dependent on Vishnu. Okay, Balaram, Lord Balaram also says in the 10th canto, when he is with the Kauravas, when the Kauravas insult the Vrishnis. So Balaram is saying, who are you to insult us? Don't you know even great devatas like Brahma and Shiva, even Lakshmi and even me, who is a Kalaha, right? Who is Balaram. We are simply parts and partials of Vishnu, of Krishna. So like this he's saying that everyone is dependent. And then Lord Shiva's ability to purify, famous verse in Bhagavatam that comes, Yat Shausha Nisritcha Sarit. So he says that Shiva Shivobhut, that Lord Shiva becomes Shiva. Shiva means auspicious, right? Shivaha means auspicious. Lord Shiva becomes auspicious because he is always being bathed by the Charnamrit of Lord Vishnu. Shiva Shivobhut. So Lord Shiva is called Shiva because he is being washed by the Charnamrit. So all these kind of verses ultimately show that how great personalities like even Lord Shiva is dependent on Vishnu. Therefore, in one sense, we cannot consider them equal. So Jiva Goswami then continues to say that at the conclusion of the Bhagavadam, you will find that Lord Shiva is glorified as the greatest devotee. Vaishnavanam yata shamboho. Okay. And that is a very nice verse he quotes. That does not mean that if one has no faith, or one who has faith in Lord Shiva, that they should not continue worshipping Shiva. So we had some college students that visited here. So one boy is there who is like half connected with Mira Road Temple. Half connected, I would say, because he is Brahmana, Joshi. And he is worshipping Shiva his whole life. And now he has gone to Mira Road ISKCON. He stays there. So now he started to understand that Vishnu is supreme, Krishna is supreme. But thoda heart mein dharma sankat hai. Probably all of us have gone through this. I have also gone through this. So he comes here and we are giving him tour and he's saying that I understand Krishna is supreme, but still Shiva is there. And he is quoting all Abheda Vakyas. Please, why ISKCON is doing like this? I love ISKCON, but why? Why are you emphasizing on this? So Jiva Goswami encourages that if you have faith in Lord Shiva, no problem, you worship Lord Shiva. Because your faith is not developed in Vishnu yet. Right? If you don't have faith, you continue. And he quotes this one verse from Adi Varaha Puran, which says that if a person worships Lord Shiva for thousands of births, then that person becomes a Vaishnava in the next life. Khatarnaka. So he quotes this verse. Very nice. It's all in his purport only. He says, Janmantara Sahasrena, Janmantara Sahasrena, Sama Aradhya Vrishadvajam. Vrishadvajam is Shiva. Bull, who rides on the bull, Vrishadvaja. Janmantara Sahasrena, Sama Aradhya Vrishadvajam, Vaishnavana, Vaishnavatam Labdhe Dhiman, Sarva Papakshaye Sati. After so many life of very sincerely worshipping Lord Shiva, one has Papakshaya, and then he becomes a Vaishnavatam Labdhe. He actually accepts with the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So it's very amazing to say this. So if someone really does not have faith, like even this student who was confused, I told him, no problem, but you follow. I said, you're fortunate, you're Brahmana, so definitely you know all the vidhis. Like many people say they love Lord Shiva, but neither have they read Shiva Purana, nor they have read Skanda Purana, nor they have read Vayu Purana, Linga Purana, nothing. So how can they be devotees of Lord Shiva? The Vaishnavas, they observe Ekadasi, correct? If you observe Ekadasi, you're a Vaishnava. You can't say, I'm a Vaishnava and I don't observe Ekadasi. Doesn't make sense. But those who are worshippers of Lord Shiva, they should worship, they should follow Pradosham. Pradosh comes every 15 days. It actually comes on Dwadasi. And there are many Vaishnava Smrta, Vaishnava Shastras which say, those who observe Dwadasi is as equal as observing Ekadasi. So somehow I think Lord Shiva is so smart that he keeps his favorite day, Pradosham, which is a day of fasting for the Shaivas on Dwadasi. Thoda merciful, Lord Shiva. So unknowingly, therefore, Janmantra Sahasrena, after millions of births, one gets this Siddhanta. So like this, you know, Jiva Goswami, he establishes how, understand that wherever the Abheda Vakyas are there, they are the opinions of non-devotees. This is not the opinions of devotees. The opinion of actual Vaishnavas are Lord Vishnu is supreme. Even Lord Shiva himself has mentioned in Skanda Puran, whatever the Shaiva Shastras are there, Tat Grahayam, only accept those sections which is Bhagavad Shastra Yogiyat, which is in line with the Bhagavatam. So now the next topic of discussion comes. Now this is all very Shastric. Anyone who has read Shastras, they will argue like this. But many people have not read. But one thing in ISKCON which people catch, which every morning, which we have so many guests coming here, and when we recite, sometimes the guests become a little bewildered. Can you guess what it is? 10 offense, the second offense. Huh? Sometimes when we read also, we read a bit softly. To understand the name of Lord, independent of Lord Vishnu. You see, so many guests are there. You think, what they'll think? My God. And this is also a verse, because this comes from Padma Puran. Right? This is a conversation between Narada Muni and the Chatuskumaras. This whole section that comes of the 10 offenses. Dashanama Aparada. So how to understand this? So many people who are giving these accusations against ISKCON, Harihar Ved, they quote the same verse and they say that ISKCON, you have misinterpreted the verse. And actually, if you look in Sanskrit, I think some ISKCON temples recite the morning prayers in Sanskrit. Nigdi, you know? I think Nigdi. Dashanama Aparada, they recite in Sanskrit. So if you see the Sanskrit, we also may become a little confused. Okay? The Sanskrit is Shivasya, that means of Lord Shiva, Shivasya Shri Vishnuhu Yat Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Dhiya Bhinnam Pashyet. Anyone who sees difference between the name, form and qualities, Guna Namadi Sakalam of Shivasya Shri Vishnu. Anyone who sees difference between the qualities and name, between Shiva and Vishnu, Sa Kalu. Okay? Such a person is indeed an offender. Hari Nama Ahita Karaha. He is Ahita, is sometimes called as a snake. Okay? Ahita. Ahita Karaha. He is a real blasphemous snake. If one who sees Dhya Bhinnam. So they say that clearly it's written. Anyone who sees difference in the name, quality, Guna Namadi Sakalam between Shiva and Vishnu, they are a snake. So then why you are saying to consider the names of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be equal or independent? Equal or independent, you are interpreting wrongly. You should say those who consider difference, Bhinnam. But here in equality, Samantvam is not mentioned here, Bhinnam is mentioned here. Veere Baba, we kya karenge hum? Translation mein gadbad hai. Kiske paas jao? Bibiti. So even among devotees, even among acharyas, they have this discussion. If you read Jaiva Dharma, or if you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's another famous Bhajana Rahasya. If you read Bhajana Rahasya or Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also quotes this verse. And in there he says, one who sees difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, they go to hell. Then he adds one more line. Those who see Vishnu and Shiva as independent, they also go to hell. He adds. So he puts both. So then so much discussion is going on. So in one more place, I forgot where, Jiva Goswami himself, he gives a translation. He says, this Shiva mentioned here is auspiciousness. It is not Lord Shiva. Aisa uska vakya deya. Shivasya Sri Vishnu. He said, this is auspicious Sri Vishnu. But then the modern day pandits, they say, then it doesn't make sense. Bhinnam, Why you say binnam? Binnam means comparison between two people. How can, so it's two people only. Then the acharyas again they refute. They say, just see, Shivasya Shri Vishnoho. Why they have given Shri? Why they didn't call Shivasya Vishnoho? They could say, Shivasya Vishnu. Compare between Shiva and Vishnu. They say, no, Shivasya Shri Vishnoho. That shows that Vishnu is supreme. Just like Bhagavad Gita, na? Shri Bhagavan Vacha. We use that and say, na, deko, Shri Bhagavan Lika. Krishna Vacha Ne Lika. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Lika. Matlab, kuch vishesh hai. So they are saying, Shivasya Shri Vishnuho. That means, Vishnu is special. So like this, so much discussion is going on. But we have read a commentary where they do not focus on all this. They focus on the main context of the word. Dhiya Bhinnam. Dhiya means conception. Bhinnam means separate. One who has a separatist mentality. Right? They are considered hellish. What is this separatist mentality? Now, Prabhupada has also explained that the vision of being a separatist also means being independent. So this our translation comes, being independent. Bhinnam here does not mean distinction. Bhinnam here means independence. So Sanskrit, the word, although root meaning of bhinna means bhinna abhinna. We say na, abhinna nama namino. Although the root meaning means duality or difference, but bhinnam can also mean independent. So let's see some examples from Bhagavadam only, where this word comes. Okay, you can remember this word. Once when we were studying in Vidyapit, I did a whole thematic search of this. Pritak drishah. Pritak means separate. Drishah means drishti. You must have heard this word. My name. Pritak drishah, pritak bhavana, pritak ishamanina, pritak separate mentality. So here, many places Prabhupada write in the purport, separatist mentality. And actually, what does it mean? It shows an independent mindset. So again, why Srila Prabhupada himself has translated the second offense to be independent of Lord Vishnu, not separate of Lord Vishnu. Why he has translated Dhiya Bhinnam as independent of Lord Vishnu is because that is the context. What is the proof? From Bhagavadam. Let's see a few episodes. So in the first canto, Narada tells Vyasa. He says, if you write anything that does not talk about the glories of the Lord, such writings simply agitate the mind, just like a boat is agitated by wind. He says, you are having a pritak drisha. It's a separate vision. That means if you have something independent, what is that verse of fear? Definition of fear? Bhaya dvitiya abhinaveshat syat. If you are absorbed in something secondary, you'll have fear. So here, he is telling to Vyasa, why you're absorbed in something secondary, something independent? You can never satisfy you. He uses the word pritak drisha. Right? Separatist mentality. Another place, a lot in Bhagavadam, many comes, many episodes. I'm just going to quote a few. One is that Vyasa was having a separatist mentality, thinking something independent. He was narrating something independent of the glories of Vishnu. Next comes the episode of third canto, 29 chapter, where the different worshippers doing bhakti in different modes. Right? Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness. The three modes. So there, Kapila Dev starts to begin the section by saying, these people are all pratak bhavas. They are separatists. Why? They are worshipping the Lord, but they have an anya hetu. They have some other desire, independent of the Lord. So the person in the mode of goodness is worshipping, doing bhakti. But what is his hope? That my karmas will become nullified. He's having a separatist mentality. He's not doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. The person in the mode of passion, he's doing bhakti, but what is his pratak bhava? He's having a desire that I should become famous. He's also having a separate vision from the vision of the Lord. The person in ignorance, he's doing puja, he's doing bhakti, but he is also called a pratak bhava. Why? He's doing bhakti with the hopes that I'll do cruel, I'll do violence. There are people who worship for the harming others. There are people who will do Shaligram Puja. It's very famous, na? That people who do black magic, they work with the local tantra. But they are Brahmanas who do this kind of tantram using Shaligram. They worship Narasimha Shaligram for the death of somebody. So this is Tamasic Bhakti. Bhakti is not Tamasic, but the worshippers in Tamagun. Very famous in Mayapur and Bengal and Odisha. People do curse using Narasimha Shaligram. They pray for the death of someone, the curse of someone using Lord. So this is Tamaguni. That's why they say this Pratak Bhava. They have a separate vision. One more example, Dhruva Maharaj episode. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he got the darshan of the Lord, after getting the darshan of the Lord, he was thinking that, oh, such a fool I am. Why? In 6 months, crash course, right? In our ITIA, our Govardhan Skill Center, we have a 6 months course. It is called special course. Okay, 6 months course. In 6 months, I got darshan of the Lord. But I'm so foolish. I'm so foolish because of my pratak mati. Because of thinking separate from the Lord. Thinking independent of the Lord. What did Dhruva Maharaj desire? What is the desire of Dhruva Maharaj? He won a kingdom greater than his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. So because of my pratak mati, I fell down from my position. In the Daksha episode, 4th canto, when Daksha's episode and then Lord Brahma goes to please Lord Shiva. Basically, when Brahma goes and say, Lord Shiva, sorry, sorry, Daksha to murk hai. Basically, he starts giving a little gali indirectly to Daksha, Brahma, and pacifying Lord Shiva. In that whole section of all the chapters, more than 5-6 times this word comes. Pratak Bhava, Pratak Isha, Pratak Mati, Pratak Drisha. And all of this is talking about Daksha. Dekho, Daksha kitna murk hai. Because he desired to be a separate controller, separate independent lord, a separate master. He desired to become independent, thinking himself independent of the Lord. Therefore, all these things are happening. Another one example. When 6th canto in Vritasura appears. So when Vritasura appears, all the demigods, they rush to Vishnu. And they start giving various pure devotional prayers. And one of it, they start praying that, my Lord, we are so foolish that you have created us. We agree. We know that you only, isn't it? The Lord has created all of us. Still, despite you creating me, I cannot see you. You have created me, I should be able to see you. No, you created me. Mother gives birth to child, child can see parents. But he says, you has created us, but we are unable to see you. Why? Pratak Isha Manina. I am thinking myself as a separate Isha, a separate controller. Therefore, when I think myself as Isha, I cannot see you who is a Parameshya. Isn't it? So, I was just giving this example. They are not sitting here. So, you know, some corporate seminar people have come, NJ group. So, I was telling them that, you know, why we have brought you to this jungle? Because they are all city people. And coming here, no light, dark, machar, sometimes a little. Thank God they have AC rooms and all. But still, little uncomfortable city people. So, I was telling them that, you know, what's the importance of nature? Why we have to place ourselves in nature? Only when you're in nature can you actually become contemplative about your life. You can only contemplate. Pawan Prabhu is very excited when you speak about nature. Isn't it? Sustainability. Only when you're in front of nature can you actually do contemplation. When you put yourself in front of a big water body, pahad or something. In the city you cannot. Why? Because this mentality of Pratak Isha Manina comes. How? Morning when you wake up, you on your car, you unlock your car with one button. Tit-tit. Then nowadays you start your car also with button. Isn't it? You press one button, zoom, the car starts. You drive to work, you enter your building, you swipe one card, one button. You swipe, you get entrance. At least for those of who work in corporate, we know. There's ID, RFID. You swipe, you enter your company. And then you want to go to your office, which is probably on the 14th floor. What do? You press one button. Pressing one button, 14th floor comes to you. You enter, then you go 14th floor. You enter your cabin. You want to sit down. You press one button, your computer comes alive. You press one button, secretary comes. You press one button, coffee comes. You press one button, tea comes. Isn't it? Pressing one button, kar karke, lag rahe ki main Bhagwan hoon. May Ishwar ho. Everything happens just by one button. Pratak Isha Maninaha. So therefore there is no contemplation. Very difficult. Because everything is at your fingertips. Isn't it? Flush, one button. Village is difficult. Lota leke jana padega. So after a while, this one button civilization, we think that pratak isha manina. I'm a separate controller. Same thing when the kings that were captured by Jarasandh. So when Jarasandh was killed, Jarasandh was liberated, all those kings, they came out and they started praying to the Lord. My Lord, thank you. Now we understood that we are only suffering because we were thinking ourselves as separate, as independent of you. See, separate means binnam. But actually they mean independent. Right? So again, we are discussing that second offense. Shivasya Shri Vishnoho. Dhiya binnam. We are discussing this and I'm giving these examples. So when we say binnam, we are not meaning that physical difference. We are saying independent. Therefore, one should not consider Lord Shiva to be independent. Okay? Now I'll just like to conclude by first discussing three things. First, we'll discuss about Shiva Tattva. In conclusion, so many things we heard about. What's an easy way to understand Shiva Tattva? I like this when I read. This is Madhurya Kadambini, where Vishnu Chakravarti writes. Very nice. He writes in very short. Madhurya Kadambini is a very small book. Maybe 20, 30 pages at best. Probably half a day of reading. That's it. You know, it's a very small book, but very deep. Madhurya Kadambini. So in one small section, Chakravartipat writes how to understand Shiva Tattva. He says that of all conscious beings, right? We are all conscious, semi-conscious. We are all conscious. Of all conscious beings, they are called Chaitanyas. There are two kinds of Chaitanya. One is the independent Chaitanya and one is the dependent Chaitanya. Okay? So, of this, the independent Chaitanya is called the Ishvara Chaitanya. And the dependent Chaitanya is called the Jiva Chaitanya. The Ishvara Chaitanya and the Jiva Chaitanya. Okay? Of the Ishvara Chaitanyas, of the independent conscious beings, there are also two. One is that Ishvara Chaitanya which is not touched by Maya. And one is that Ishvara Chaitanya which touches Maya. That Ishvara Chaitanya which does not touch Maya is Lord Vishnu. And that Ishvara Chaitanya which touches Maya is Lord Shiva. Katam. This is the definition. So he is also Ishvara Chaitanya only. But he denotes like this. Done. Okay. So let's see what is the devotee's outlook. How then should devotee? Because you see every temple, whether we have in our temple in Mayapur, in Vrindavan, right? I've mentioned this before. Probably some of you have served, you have seen. We have Lord Shiva's room, right? In a Radha Madhav altar behind, inside. We have one special room of Lord Shiva, where all the Mahaprasad first is offered to Lord Shiva, very beautiful deity, and then is offered to everyone. Here also, in many dhams they have like this. Because it's a culture of the dham. Because ultimately Lord Shiva is the protector of the dham. Right? Here also we have so many Lord Shiva temples. Four Lord Shiva temples. Five. Right? So, what is then the devotee's outlook? So, Sanatan Goswami, in one of his Digdarshini commentary, he has many Digdarshini commentaries. He names it all Digdarshini only. So, I think this is Hari Bhakti Vilas commentary. I can't remember. So, Sanatan Goswami, he writes, if one argues that Shri Vishnu is one God and Shiva is another God, it is improper for Vaishnavas. This is Pura Paksha, he's saying. Pura Paksha. If one thinks that Shiva is one God and Vishnu is one God, Vaishnavas should not offer obeisance to Shiva. If you say like this, then Sanatan Goswami says, I refute this by saying, just as Matsya, Kurma, these are Leela avatars of Krishna, similarly, Lord Shiva is Guna Avatar. So if one offers obeisances to him following his vrata, okay, what vrata you have taken, there is no fault. Rather, it's a virtue. Because it becomes an act of devotion unto the Supreme Lord. So if we have no problem offering obeisance to Matsya, Varaha, ye Leela Avatar. So Guna Avatar also you can offer obeisance. What's wrong? So this is how a devotee should see. Okay. Now let's see what Lord Shiva thinks of devotees. Now, devotees are acting like this. Is Lord Shiva pleased with devotees, Vaishnavas? So this comes in a section in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially dealing with Markandeya Rishi. Now it is very interesting I found, you know, because when I started studying Bhagavatam after coming to devotional life, I saw Markandeya as a Vaishnava. I got shocked. Because our whole lives, from all the Shastras, the Shaiva Agamas that we have read, मार्कंडेय वॉज अ शाइवाइट. सो आई बोले, अरे बाबा उसको कन्वर्ट कब हुआ, मुझे पता भी नहीं, कोई बताया भी नहीं. As much as I heard, he was a शाइवाइट. So then when I studied and came up to 12th canto, I found some reconciliation. I found it nice. So here Lord Shiva is glorifying his devotee, Vaishnava, Markandeya. He says, he's talking to Parvati as they are flying. He says that the devotees do not differentiate between Vishnu, Brahma and me. He glorifying them. Devotees are so nice. They don't do this Harihar Bed. They do not differentiate themselves from other living beings also. That means they don't say that I am a Vaishnava and that is a Vaishnava. So this is how the devotee mentality. They don't differentiate between the Paramadevatas. They don't differentiate between themselves and other devotees also. So therefore Shiva says, worship of such Vaishnavas like you is very pleasing for me. I am very happy to worship devotees like you. He says, devotees are you like you are very dear to me. Just like the Lord is very dear to me. Because you are dear to the Lord. You love Krishna, therefore I love you. He says like that. And what's the glory of devotees? They do not want any benediction. They do not want even liberation. Because they are completely in samadhi. They are completely happy. Like this he glorifies devotees. So if these are the characteristics, if these are the criteria or the characteristics that we have as devotees, we can be rest assured that Lord Shiva is pleased with us. Isn't it? That we don't do bhed bhav. We offer respects. Because we love Krishna, we know that he loves us. Because we love Vishnu, therefore we are sure that Lord Shiva also loves us. Jiva Goswami ends his purport of his Vaishnava Toshini by quoting this one verse where I have never heard or read, nor have I found the source. I am not sure if it's Jiva Goswami's own compilation because it's not there in the Sandarbhas. He doesn't even quote where is it from. But he quotes this verse. He says that whatever it is, for devotees, all criticism to Lord Shiva should be avoided. He quotes this one verse. I do not know where this comes from. He says, Yo mam smaratye, yo mam smarate nityam, ekantam bhavam astitaha, vinindan devan devam ishanam, sayati narakam dhruvam. One who is situated in pure love for me, that means Krishna. So probably the Lord is speaking this verse. But where is the Lord speaking? I do not know. One who is situated in love for Krishna, but vinindan. Vinindan means what? Vishesha nindanam. That means exclusively criticizing Lord Shiva. Now you may do some ninda. But this is vinindan. He puts an emphasis. Vinindam devam ishanam. Who is Isha? Shiva. Sa yati narakam dhruvam. Certainly he goes to hell for certain. He is such a person. So therefore our devotees, we understand the difference. At the same time, we also accept that he is a guna avatar. Right? So we are very fortunate actually that ISKCON we have this achintya bheda abheda tattva. So we can accept this. Advaita acharya, no problem. We reconcile. In Navadvip Dham you have Harihar Kshetra. We go, we pay obeisance. Right? You have seen Harihar Kshetra, na? Harihar Kshetra, you see the portion of Vishnu has their own Gopuram. The portion of Shiva has his own Gopuram. Two Gopurams in one temple. Deities in the middle, two Gopurams at the side. The Gopuram on top of Vishnu has a Sudarshan Chakra. And a Gopuram on top of Shiva has a Trishulam. On top of the temple. No problem. Two temples, one deity. Devotees go, offer obeisances. Prasad milega bas. Katha. Ho gaya na, we have no issues. So therefore, when the entire world today is criticizing ISKCON, saying that you people are doing Harihar Bed, devotees are confused. Hum log kar rahe kya? Ka tension kya aapka? Har nahi kar rahe. You like Lord Shiva? Huh? No problem. So we don't understand what is their problem. Isn't it? Because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given us such a philosophy, such a clarity, that we don't understand what is the confusion. Why are you confused? Why are you accusing us? What we did wrong? You are saying binnam. Huh? We have no issue. Independent. So who will go and explain all what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has right? Qualities, ye, wo, Jiva Goswami ka purport, ye sab. Correct? So therefore, we can see this beautiful section of how Lord Shiva is the greatest personality. He is a great devotee of the Lord. He is as good as the Lord. Now we can quote Brahma Samhita also. How, you know, technically if you want to explain how dahi comes from milk, that explanation, you can give that also. But our actual great fortune is that we have this parampara and we have this clarity, and our then responsibility comes in presenting this clarity to others, okay, in an unbiased way. And therefore, we are so fortunate to even have the Shiva Dhams here, Lord Shiva's Dhams here, pay obeisance to Lord Shiva, understanding, loving Him, and worshipping Him, knowing that worshipping Him pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, thank you all very much for your kind hearing. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavadam Ki, Har Har Mahadeva Ki, Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki.